in this book is a meaningful life. And I think we all want a meaningful life. As certainly as we get older and we get closer to the end of life, many people are wondering, you know, what did it mean? What is the purpose? And it's never too late to take a purpose at your life. Take a look at the purpose of your life. I want to welcome Eric Mizell to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
I'm great, Shannon. How are you doing?
I'm terrific. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for writing this book. I think this is a really interesting topic. Now, you know, you're a therapist. You look at very differently, I must add, about mental health. So you're not the typical therapist, and you look at life very differently. Why do we need something meaningful? What's wrong with just living every day and doing what we have to do and then saying, okay, you know, that was a decent day, and not looking for any bigger picture? Do most of us need that and want that, and is it more important to have that?
Well, I think there were a few different questions in there.
Mm-hmm.
My first response is, we don't need meaning if we don't need meaning. If we're living our life meaningfully and the word doesn't even come up for us, I would suspect that there are cultures that don't even have a word for meaning because it's not a word that they use.
Mm.
So if we don't experience meaning crises or feel like we have meaning needs, if we're living our life just the way we want to live it, for me, the proof is always in the pudding. If you're happy with the way things are going, I have nothing to offer you.
Okay.
Great. Continue.
Okay.
But most people have the psychological experience of meaning sometimes. That's what meaning is. It's not something out there. It's not an objective something at the top of a mountain or in a book or at some guru's feet. It's an experience we have, a psychological experience. And having had it, we want it again. We probably had it when we were sitting in a corner when we were seven reading a book, or in that darkened theater, and lots of places where we experienced meaning. And because we experienced it, we want that psychological experience again. We pine for it. And so for people who pine for it, they need to understand that they get to create it. I'm on this quest for changing the paradigm from seeking meaning, which is our several thousand-year-old metaphor, mm-hmm. to the idea of making meaning.
Making meaning.
That we can create these psychological experiences primarily by reminding ourselves of what we've experienced as meaningful in the past,
mm-hmm.
creating what I call a menu of meaning opportunities so that we know what's worked, and then having this menu so that we know what might work today to create the experience of meaning.
Do most people, when they think of creating meaning, are they thinking professionally, I want to write a book, I want to run for office, I want to start a new business? I mean, is that where most people get their meaning, or is the meaning something deeper? As I said before, that you have written in your book, that it used to be religion that people went for. So are we talking now about something bigger than ourselves, or something very attainable and an activity we can create?
Yeah, from my point of view, it's not something bigger than ourselves.
Mm.
We have no life purposes unless we make life purpose choices, I believe. We have to make those choices. We have to decide how we want to represent ourselves and what will make us proud and how we want to live our life.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty
These
simple.
These are decisions we make, and until we make them, I don't think we're actually living our life purposes. We're pretty much going through the motions.
That's interesting. Decisions we make. You know, there's certainly another camp of people that would say that we are born with a purpose and we have to find it, that it's buried deep somewhere inside of ourselves. And if we find that purpose, then we have kind of excavated it out and there's our meaning. And you're saying that it's really a decision that we make to decide who we are and what our purpose will be and then define our life around that purpose or create a life that determines
exactly.
that.
You're saying it exactly the way I would say it. There are the two camps, and
mm-hmm.
people in the first camp, everybody is, you know, infused with enough postmodernism that even if they're religious or spiritual, they still wonder if they're just excited matter going through the universe and that whether they count or not and whether the universe has any purposes for them. But people in the first camp often will move from one seeking attempt to the next seeking attempt. They'll be a Buddhist for a while and go back to their Jewish roots for a while and then whatever. Because, as you say, they're looking for the meaning out there, when in fact, I believe, if you believe in evolution, if you believe, I would say, in science, I think you would agree that the universe has no purposes for us. The only purposes there are the purposes we decide to choose for ourselves. We get to make meaning. We get to decide how we want to live our lives. And if we don't do that work, as I said before, I think that we have the experience of being in a kind of perpetual meaning crisis and a perpetual low-grade, and I'm going to put quotes around this word, low-grade depression, which I think is really existential sadness around us not feeling like we're living our lives meaningfully.
You know, there's something very liberating about what you just said, that we get to choose the meaning of our life. I mean, I think that that's really liberating in the fact that it's not defined for us. It's not a should. It's not something defined by society or economics or something, as I said before, that you have to excavate out of you, and you seem to never get to that point. Can we make it that simple? Like, do you know, read your book, go to your boot camp, and make a decision about how we want to live our lives and get there?
Yes, if we give up on the wishful thinking that there is something larger, that there is immortality or other ways of saying something larger than us, if we let go of that wishful thinking and realize that we can make a difference here, that we matter, that we and our efforts matter, that there are things we can do now both to provoke the experience of meaning in ourselves and to live our life purposes. Let me give you a quick example. Mm-hmm. In the days before D-Day, we don't care what mood Eisenhower is in. We don't care what he's thinking. We don't care what he's feeling. We don't care anything about his, so to speak, inner turmoil. We want him to get D-Day right. We want his life purposes or his meaning or his mission of that moment to trump everything. And we don't feel that about ourselves. We don't feel like we have a D-Day invasion looming in front of us that we have to throw ourselves into, and that's a shame. Mm. If we felt like we had important work to do, important could be small, doesn't have to be gigantic, doesn't have to be D-Day, but if we feel like we have important work to do, or if we decide that we have important work to do, everybody can find a cause. Everybody can be of service. Everybody can create. Everybody can relate. Everybody can hold someone's hand, etc. If we accept those as the human-sized life purpose choices we can make, then we can create our life purpose choices, we can articulate them for ourselves, and we can figure out, and this is important, how to hold them close, how to actually get them onto our daily to-do list.
Are you talking more about your principles, like, I feel very strongly about children or family or, something big, or are you talking... Like I said earlier, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to run for office. I'm going to create a company. We get to decide. So it can be any one of those things. And if that's the case, how do we decide?
Yes, it can be any one of those things. We do get to decide. How do we decide? We have to stop rushing, stay put, and chat with ourselves for as long as it takes about both what we think our life purpose choices are and how to articulate them. In the book, I have lots of sort of simple strategies for creating a life purpose statement or creating a life purpose icon, as doing the work of articulating for yourself what those life purposes are. People understand what they are, but it takes them some time to find the right language and to find some, often a phrase that's simple enough that they can remember, that they can hold their life purposes close. For instance, I think the phrase making value-based meaning is a phrase that can work as somebody's kind of overarching life purpose. I think it holds a lot of information. I think a phrase like doing the next right thing, which speaks, as you were saying, to sort of our moral compass, I think doing the next right thing might be a completely adequate and resonant life purpose for someone. But until we stop everything and create that kind of language for ourselves, then I think we're doing what all human beings have been doing for a long time, and that's we're still seeking. We still think we don't know what it is. We're still unhappy that we haven't found it. So I think it's easy to do, but not unless we stop and do it.
I'm thinking about the reverse side of that. You know, violence. I mean, people can get so frustrated. Do you think that this is where violence comes from? That they haven't found something, or have they latched onto something that is meaningful in violence?
I'm not sure exactly how I would want to answer that. I think, again, let's just take World War II as a kind of odd example. There's violence on both sides, but we think there's righteous violence on our side.
Right, exactly.
And immoral violence on the other side. So I can't say I'm against violence per se. If our country's invaded, I'm for violence in the sense of self-defense. So as an abstract word, I'm not against the word violence taken in the sense in which I'm using it here, that there may be instances where it's called for. But I think what you're saying is the kind of lashing out of a person who is impulsive and has never really figured out life and has never either had the opportunity or the patience to figure out life.
Mm.
Let me piggyback a thought on here. I've been writing about my vision of personality is made up of three parts of original personality, those endowments we come into the world with, our proclivities, our temperament. By the way, psychotherapy takes no interest in original personality, makes believe we all come into the world the same, and anybody who's had kids or puppies or kittens knows that that isn't the case. So there's original personality, then there's our formed personality, and I think that's what you're talking about. Sort of that the way we are straitjacketed by our personality over time. And then there's what I call available personality, and that's our remaining freedom, the freedom we have left to be the person we want to be. I think somebody who's violent and impulsive and addicted and all those words we could string there has less available personality, less freedom to be the person they would really like to be. That's why, for them, one of their life purposes would be to upgrade their personality. Mm-hmm. It would be to get into recovery or whatever, because they can't live their other life purposes until they become the person equal to living those life purposes.
Interesting. Very interesting. Now, the book is, as I said, Life Purpose Boot Camp, the 8-week breakthrough plan for creating a meaningful life. Now, you know, am I right in saying that listeners can do this on their own, they can buy the book, or they can do this with you or someone online? Is that correct? I mean, there's boot camps you can sign up for.
Yes, it's more the former. That is, you read the book and do it.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be some opportunities to do it with me. I'm doing a week-long workshop in Omega in Rhinebeck, New York next year.
Very nice.
I'm not doing that many live workshops. I'm not helping people personally do this work because I'm actually interested in other things also, like particularly mental health reform. I'm in a mental health reform movement that's taking up a lot of my time.
That's interesting.
So I'm not leading people through Life Purpose Boot Camp myself much. I think the book simply, and I would say eloquently, can walk a person through it. All you have to do is do it week by week. I was on a show with two hosts who did it in 8 days because they only had 8 days before I was on the show. So they discovered or discerned that it can also be an 8-day program if you really rush.
Okay. They really got it all in there. Eight weeks to 8 days. That's interesting. But you know, if you're into it and you really believe it and this is your goal, I don't see why you couldn't do it. You know, and how not to frame your life purposes, avoid naming a single outcome. Again, I like that because there's a freedom there. But why shouldn't we name a single outcome? I mean, most people would think that's exactly what we should do.
It tends not to lead to a rich and healthy enough life. I'll give you a simple example. I work with creative and performing artists, and I've been working with them as a therapist and a coach for 30-plus years. And they tend to put all of their meaning eggs into the creativity basket. That's what they consider most meaningful, often to the extent that they don't really believe in relationships or other things. And so if they frame their life purpose as, you know, getting a lot of books written or bestsellers or Nobel Prize or what have you, they may get a lot of books written and win some awards and what have you. And typically they still feel cold and lonely and on the verge of suicide and other things.
All right.
So I don't think it pays to choose one life purpose because I think it's insufficient. I think any one life, unless we've created as a life purpose a little phrase like do the next right thing or make value-based meaning, that is some phrase that kind of captures 19 other kinds of life purposes.
All-encompassing to some degree.
All-encompassing.
Right.
But if we choose as our life purpose to get to the top of my corporation, well, you may get there. But you'll probably be, you know, addicted to something on the road and divorced and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I mean, here's
we know life.
Yeah, here's the thing. You know, whatever you take to the top of them, whatever you want to find at the top of the mountain is exactly what you brought up there with you. So, I mean, you have to work on who you are while you're getting there is what you're saying. Just getting to the top of the company is not going to change you. You have to change yourself. So when you get there, you'll be the person you want to be and have all this other with you.
Exactly, and there's a second reason related. What I was saying before, that meaning is a psychological experience, and it is. So let's say that you work on your novel for an hour, and that's one of your life purposes, and you've created the experience of meaning for an hour. What are you doing with the other 23 hours? Are they supposed to be meaningless? Or do they have no purpose? unless you understand that you have multiple life purposes and multiple meaning opportunities, that Tennessee Williams once said, when I stop writing, the rest of the day is posthumous. And I thought that was a lovely way of saying that, you know, once I stop being creative, I don't know what the heck to do with myself for the rest of the day. Well, we better know.
Yeah,
what to
we
do
better
with ourselves
know.
For the rest of the day.
We better know. Yeah, you know, this is a wonderful book, Life Purpose Bootcamp, the 8-week breakthrough plan for creating a meaningful life. This is a very different book. This is not a puff book. This is real work, real good stuff, and you will come out certainly on the other side a happier, better, more fulfilled person, and I would suspect to say a fuller person in every way. This is a terrific book. As I said, this is your 40th book. You are great at writing these books, and you are great at doing your work. Eric Mizell, thank you so much. This is just a terrific book, everybody. It's on Shannon's Corner, so go there, and there's a direct link to your website so you can get it. You can learn more about it, learn more about all your work. It's terrific. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Everybody, this is a terrific book. Everybody should have a copy, Life Purpose Bootcamp. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little more here on WTBQ. So stay where I'm. We'll be back.